Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, it's time for another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, who is the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors. You can find us online by going to coveryourassetskc.com. David, you all set for 2020 to come to an end here over the next couple of weeks?
Man, I am so ready. I don't know anybody that's not, frankly.
I usually like time to slow down. You know, the years slip away so fast these days already, and I don't like it when the year changes. I don't like birthdays because time is slipping away, but even I'm glad to see 2020, you know, be over, and let's try and start fresh in 2021.
This has been one strange calendar year, for sure.
I have a feeling something's going to happen on like January 1st or 2nd, and everyone's just going to say, well, it looks like 2020 is not done. It's just going to roll right over.
Let's hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong on that, but I have that feeling that some craziness will pop up right at the beginning of the year, and that'll ruin everything for 2021, but we'll see. Let's be more optimistic than that. On today's show, we're going to talk about Social Security and a really important element of Social Security, and that's, will it work for you? Should you count on getting your benefits? It's a good question to ask. A lot of people do ask that question of you, right, David?
They do, and they have very widely varying opinions before we chat it through.
If you listen to our show, you should know by now, if you listen to it with any regularity, that you know Social Security, it shouldn't be relied on as you know the thing in your retirement plan. We all hear the stories of people who solely rely on Social Security aren't usually in great shape for retirement. But it doesn't mean it's still not an important part of the retirement plan. That's why we want to give it its due attention on today's show. I'm curious, David, you talk with clients every single day and other folks who come into your office with questions and things like that. How do they view Social Security? Do they have kind of a positive opinion of it all? Are they down on Social Security and its prospects, that sort of thing?
Well, there's usually a bit of mystery around it and what they're, you know, if they had a non-working spouse, a spouse that was just worked at home, there's a mystery about what they're going to get and claiming strategies, which have gotten a lot simplified over the years. But most people have a little bit of a skeptical view because of what they see in the news all the time and what they see in that statement that comes in to their house usually about every 3 years, which talks about when the trust fund is going to run out of money. But it is a super important asset to a big bunch of households in America. Statistically, most households don't retire with much of a savings. And so what they have is Social Security. And this is a really big asset for those, especially those households. There was an article in the Journal of Financial Planning recently, and it calculated that if you got something that was worth $30,000 a year, let's say that you and your spouse together are going to get $30,000 a year in Social Security. And if you wanted to get, and of course, most people know that there is a cost of living adjustment to your Social Security income, at least there is now. And if you were trying to replicate that outside of Social Security, if you were just going to take a lump sum of money, put it into an annuity that had an income adjustment, that, and you were 65 years old and you're going to retire, that $30,000 a year, you'd have to put $600,000 into an annuity to replicate that 30 grand a year. So this is not, I mean, even for people that have done pretty well for themselves in retirement, if you've got a $600,000 asset that's going to pay you 30 grand a year, well, that's a fairly big number for most Americans. So it's super important. And it's, I think, hopefully at the end of this podcast, you'll have a much clearer idea of, is the Social Security trust fund in trouble? Is there a trust fund? Is it in trouble? And what might we do to fix it?
Well, let's go down that road a little bit further, David. So when will Social Security be out of money, given all of those things you laid out? Isn't that where people immediately kind of jump to?
Yeah, it is. And so the statement that you likely got at your house sometime in the last year, two, or three says that the trust fund is likely going to run dry by 2035. Which begs the question, wait a minute, is there really a trust fund? And the answer is, depending on, the answer is yes, there is basically a trust fund. That was created in 1983. Not to give you a bunch of, not to bog you down with a bunch of history, but when Reagan, when Ronald Reagan came into office, he appointed this commission that was headed by Alan Greenspan. And they came up with some ideas to save Social Security, because Social Security had been going down a rickety road for the prior 10 years, and they decided, we need to do something now to save it. So they basically did three different things. They increased the full retirement age from 65 up to 67, and it was graduated by the year that you were born. So for instance, the year I was born, my full retirement age is 66 years and 8 months. But people that are a couple years older than me, their full retirement age is 67. And my daughters, you, Walter, your full retirement age is 67. And it doesn't get any older than that. That's your full retirement age. And then they said, we're going to start putting the money that people contribute on a, in effect, the tax you pay out of every paycheck, we're going to start putting that in what we're going to call a trust fund. And that's what we're going to pay Social Security benefits out of. And we're going to increase the amount that everybody has to put in such that it is very stable. Back in 83, they thought, man, if we can stabilize this to 2060, well, that's further than anybody's going to be alive. So anybody living was going to be alive. And so now that has snuck into 2035, when the Social Security Trust Fund is supposed to be out of money. So how does that actually work? Well, every year up until next year, actually, but every year there's more money taken out of all of our paychecks than we actually pay out to retirees. And that surplus is put into the trust fund. But the only thing that the trust fund can buy are treasury notes. So, and treasury notes go to fund the deficit spending that we already do in Washington. So oops. That's why when people say, Dave, is there really a trust fund? I say, well, technically there's a trust fund, but Congress spends that surplus every year. So what we have as Social Security beneficiaries, future beneficiaries, is we have a claim on Treasury notes, bills, and bonds that are financed by us, the taxpayer. So technically, yes, there is a trust fund. And what happens with the, next year, for instance, is the first year that the contributions that we all make into Social Security, they're not going to be enough to pay out the benefits that we owe the people that are already retired and disabled. And so what the Social Security Administration is going to do is they're going to start selling off those notes to make up the difference. And all that means is the Treasury has to issue more notes, bills, and bonds that you and I, the taxpayer, are responsible for. So yes, there is a trust fund. Yes, the accounting is super wonky, and Social Security will technically be out of money. Those bills, notes, and bonds that have been purchased with our excess funding, they're going to be gone, it looks like, in the year 2035.
That is a big date that a lot of people have on their minds. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to all end, right, David? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, boom, payments stop in 2035 just because that's when we have these issues pop up.
Exactly. So when you get that statement in the mail and it says, you know, in 2035, the trust fund is going to be empty, and there's a, and to fix that, we're going to have to reduce your benefits. And I think the last thing that came out said, we're going to cut your benefits by 25%. So you're only going to get 75% of what we promised you. Well, all that means is that the taxes that are collected in that year are going to fund about 75% of what is owed. So if Congress does nothing, our benefits, by rule, by law, will have to be reduced. If Congress does nothing, my view is, Congress is highly likely to do something, but not until the last minute, because that's the way Congress does things.
Congress is a procrastinator by nature, in other words.
Exactly, because this is super bad news that they're going to have to bring to the American people. And nobody wants to bring it up. There was a bill that was put forth in the Senate this year, and McConnell said, well, I'm not bringing that up for discussion. And nobody wants to be the guy. So give Ronald Reagan some credit. He put together a bipartisan commission, and they said, you know what? Let's all take a little bit of heat now to try to extend the financial life of this program far into the future. So good for them. And I think what happens is sometime over the next 4, 5, 8, 10 years, some president is going to have the guts to say, we need to reconvene that committee, get a new committee, but the charge will be the same. How do we make sure? What changes can we make today to make sure that Social Security lives on to benefit the people it's supposed to benefit into perpetuity?
It sounds like the fix to the Social Security problem is a bipartisan one.
I think it has to be, Walter. And, you know, we are so divided in this country that it's pretty hard to get the left and the right together for almost anything. So it's going to be quite a little magic trick to get those folks in a room together and get them to agree on a solution for a really, really important problem that isn't yet urgent. And they'll fix it once it becomes urgent.
So when people ask you, David, that question, will Social Security be there for me? Let's break it down. Maybe even it might be helpful into different groups. Somebody that's retiring tomorrow, who asked that question, versus somebody who's retiring in 10 years versus me and your daughters and folks that are in kind of that millennial age group. When they ask you that question, what's sort of the spectrum of answers that you would give each of those groups?
Well, I'm glad you broke it down that way, because I think the answer is different depending on who you're talking to. So first, the big disclaimer is, if I knew or pretended to know what they were going to do, well, that means that I could accurately predict what Congress is going to do a decade from now. So the first answer is nobody knows how this is going to fix. But here's some things that I talk about with clients and people I know that are asking these types of questions. So if you're older, maybe you're, let's call it 60 and older, so you can see it from here, or maybe you're already receiving Social Security, I think the probability is that it's going to be more highly taxed than it is today. If you're sitting there at home listening to this podcast and you say, wait a minute, they're going to tax my Social Security? Then you need to go back and listen to a podcast we did about 8 months ago. Yes, for most people who do reasonably well in life financially, your Social Security will be taxed. And so for older people, I think more of your Social Security will be taxed. You're likely to get less of a cost of living increase each year. And they're going to take away all strategies that you can use to maximize Social Security. Because the only people that can afford to maximize their Social Security are people that have done well for themselves in life, and they can afford to wait to get that Social Security. So the better you've done for yourself, the more changes you can expect. Those are for the older people. For the younger folks, I think the changes that are coming down the pike have a lot of similarities to what happened in 1983. So back then, the full retirement age went from 65 to 67. I'll be shocked to know that the next time we do this revision to Social Security, that the full retirement age doesn't go to 69 or 70. We're all living a lot longer. Back when Social Security was created in 1935, the life expectancy back then was 65. You didn't get to start getting Social Security till 65. So you weren't ever supposed to get a bunch of money out of the program in the first place. Now, if you retire at 67, well, your life expectancy at that point is 85 or 86. That's 20 years of taking out of Social Security, when the original intent was 1 or 2 or 3 years. So I think younger people are going to have to, they're going to start getting Social Security later. Right now, you probably know that you can take it as early as 62, and I'll bet they change that to a later age for younger people. Payroll taxes are very likely to go up. In other words, the more you make, the more you're going to pay. That's already the case, except that there is a limit. Once your income gets above a certain amount, you don't pay Social Security taxes anymore. And in 2021, that amount is $142,800. If your income is more than $142,800, they stop taking that 6.2% out. You don't pay that anymore. If your spouse makes $140,000, well, then they stop taking out of his or her paycheck too. And so one thing Biden has talked about is raising that limit, or starting it again after somebody starts making over $400,000 a year. They're going to wrestle around with this really hard, but one way or another, the more you make, the more you're going to pay for this program. You probably won't bring any more benefits out of it when you retire. You will have just paid more, and it will be a redistribution tax, an income redistribution tax. And that's really the way I think, those are the three ways I think that they're going to fix this thing. They are highly unlikely to reduce people's benefits because Congress doesn't do that. Congress hates doing that because they don't get reelected. So they're going to find a way around it through some sort of backdoor. Taxes are likely going up, retirement age is likely going up, and your cost of living increase is likely going down. And if they do those types of things, they're going to have some study that tells us that instead of running out of money in 2035, they're going to bump it out to 2075 or 2080. And with those changes, they're probably going to be right. So it won't be, I don't think it'll be massive changes to people who can't afford the massive changes. There will be some changes to people who arguably can afford to pay a little bit more. And so that's how I think they end up fixing this problem.
That's great, David. I appreciate you breaking that down. Makes a lot of sense. One of those problems that's not going away, that's for sure. And I'm sure we'll have many things that happen in regards to newsy notes and changes and new ideas, perhaps, that come up in regards to the Social Security problem over the years, and we'll be ready to react to them, thanks to you keeping your eye on the ball and things keeping it in front of us, David, making sure we're staying on top of all of this. I know Social Security has to be one of the things that you get the most questions about when people come in to visit with you.
It is, because it's a program that people kind of like to, turn their eye a little bit away from or laugh about a little bit. But as where we started out with this podcast is, it's a big number when you try to decide, how much would I have to pay to buy an annuity to get me that same cash flow? It's a fairly big asset for every household in America. And so it's really important whether or not people really know what they're talking about or not. They kind of have this sense that this should be pretty important to me. And it is.
Yeah. And if you don't want to mess up your Social Security, because some of the times, and in fact, a lot of the time, you can't undo a decision with Social Security, especially if you then let some time pass. So if you start it early, you can't go a year or two later and say, ooh, I should have waited a while to start that. You kind of already have made your plan, and now you got to lie in that bed, in that plan. So make sure you're making the right decisions before you pull some of these levers. That's what we try to stress here on the show all the time, not just with Social Security, but with 401ks and contributions and Roth conversions and IRAs and all of those different decisions that you've got to make about retirement and turning your assets into income through your retirement life. All these levers need to be pulled properly to get the most out of your hard work through all these years of working. And that's what's so important, is to just make these decisions diligently and with care. And if you have any questions about that, what we've talked about on today's show, or want to talk a little bit further with David about getting your own financial review, you can get a complete planning review with David. That's the CPR process, by calling 913-317-1414. Again, that's 913-317-1414. Or go online to coveryourassetskc.com, or just check the description of today's show for related resources and links. David, thanks for the help and for breaking down Social Security for us. Good thing you're not a politician. You're not afraid to talk about this and deal with it.
Don't have to get reelected.
That's right. Exactly. So we're always happy to talk about these tough things on the show. And we certainly tackled Social Security today. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for being with us. And we'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.